December 8th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 22, looking at verses 34 through 46, with part two of last week's message titled, I Love the Lord.
When from the heart you can say this, for his marvelous salvation, all he's done for you, then you know your righteousness has exceeded that of the scribes and the Pharisees, and you've entered the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we didn't first love him. He first loved us. But how wonderful is it today to know we love him. We know him. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one sent from heaven to save us from all of our sins. What a King. What a God we can come to in love.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
The whole house of Israel, and that quickly. And you say, amen, 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 amen. Let his great name be blessed forever and ever. Let his name be celebrated, his memory extolled through all generations. Let the name of the holy blessed God be celebrated, praised, adorned, exalted, extolled, and preached far above every benediction and hymn. Praise and thanks to the King. They said this, the Kaddish. And at the end of the Kaddish, the people would answer, amen, let his great name be blessed forever and ever. The legate would say, bless ye the blessed of God, the people, blessed be the blessed Lord forever and to everlasting. The Shema with its eulogies is recited by the legate in a loud voice, and the people answering, amen. That was worship. A little different than today's worship, huh? Depends. Now, do you think they paused and asked? Do we do that? And who are we loving? They thought they did. Now, why would they come to Jesus and ask this then? Right? I mean, that's where I'm stuck. Well, not really, but I was. The section just ends. None of the other gospels do this. Mark gives me some context to work with. Mark says, amen, well said, teacher. To love the Lord is to fulfill the law and the prophets. Luke gives us the connection with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Matthew gives us nothing. Boom, ends. How do you preach that? What's going on here? The discipline of the pastor is not to try to sort of synchronize all the gospels at this point. The discipline of the pastor is to think about, why is Matthew doing what he's doing? What's happening here? This is a little thought experiment with you for a minute. I'm going to try to help you with this. I have many laws in the Gordon household for my kids. Make your beds, pick up your clothes, clean this, clean that. Let's just say from the beginning, I said there's one great commandment in the Gordon household. It's the Gordon Shema here. Hear, O Gordon children. Hear, O Pastor Gordon's great commandment. Clean the kitchen after dinner. That's my great commandment in the Gordon household. Let's just say that's the great commandment in the Gordon household. But I walk in the kitchen, and there it is all again. Last night's chicken still on the plate. In the morning. You think I might be making a point here right now with my own family, my own kids? You guys should laugh at that. Let's say I'm really frustrated with my children. And I say, children, come here. Come here. Meeting, Gordon meeting. We're going to recite the Gordon Shema. What is the greatest commandment in the Gordon household? Do they not know it? Oh, they know it. Of course they know it. But why would I ask that? Why would I want them to say it? I want them to say it. I want them to repeat it. Why? Because the kitchen's a mess again. There's hardened food stuck to the plates. Children, come here. Great Shema. I want you to say it. Say it out loud. Hear, O children, the commandment of the Gordon household. You shall what? Clean the kitchen. And hopefully, in their recitation of it, I will get them to realize how bad they have been at the chief commandment. Right? That's the effect. What is the great commandment, Jesus? What is the great commandment, Jesus? Have you done it? See, these are attacks. This is the third attack. Have you done it? Nothing else needs to be said after this. Because he hasn't loved the Lord his God. Mic drop. Got him. That's the effect. Have you honored God in the most important commandment? Have you loved your neighbor? No, they said, you're a blasphemer. And you see, Matthew at this point does something that none of the other gospels do. The dialogue's not over. And he gives us a clue to that. If you look at verse 41, now, while the Pharisees were gathered together. So Jesus asked them a question. But if you look back in 34, when the Pharisees had gathered together, Matthew wants you to link these two. Pharisees gathered together while the Pharisees are still gathered together. So there's the tie. There's the connection. He doesn't want you to separate what is about to happen. It's an interpretive clue. They thought they had just condemned him. And now Jesus has a question of his own. All the multitudes are around him, and whatever question they are now going to get from Jesus is probably one of the biggest moments in the Gospel of Matthew because it ends up silencing them forever against him. This utterly shuts them down. Well, here comes the question of all questions after the moment on loving God. Jesus asks them a question. What do you think about the Christ? What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? You say it. You see? You say it. And they reply, well, that's easy. You think you got us with that? The son of David. The scribes everywhere taught, and the Pharisees, that the coming Christ, the Messiah, is the son of David. He would come from David's line, right? It's absolutely true. They got it right. Everyone believed that when the Messiah would come, he would come from the lineage of King David. But here's their dilemma. Here's their dilemma. Do they understand what David believed about who he is? And so he said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord? That's why we sang Psalm 110. David said by the Spirit, remember Psalm 110? The Lord said to my Lord, sit in my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Psalm 110, probably the most quoted psalm in the whole New Testament. Do you know that is the most quoted and maybe in the whole Bible? It's a big psalm with a big message. You will notice if you went back to Psalm 110 and you'll notice the Greek doesn't capture it, but if you went back to the Hebrew and you looked at it, the first Lord is all caps, the second is lowercase, that two different names of God are being communicated there. The Lord said to my Lord, and the psalm reads, the Lord, all caps, holy name, Yahweh, said to my Lord, holy name, Adonai. So the Lord said to my Lord, the Lord said to my Lord, sit. Until all your enemies are ruled. David is speaking. Yahweh said to my Lord Adonai. God is speaking to the Messiah, who is my Lord. So Jesus observes this, and he says, did you notice that? Did you never catch that? That the Spirit inspired David saying that his son was also his Lord? That would mean David knew him. That would mean David worshiped him. That would mean David prayed to him. That would mean that this is a very special person. What just happened? They had to confess that David's son is God's son. So David calls him Lord. How is he then his son, says Jesus. And they came face to face with the most important question of their lives, and maybe the most important question of your life. Whose son is this? Who are we dealing with today? Who did we come up to worship today? This name that everyone claims, this name that is known throughout all the earth to this day. Now keep in mind what infuriated them about Jesus is that people were calling him the son of David. Remember he said in the temple, the children were doing this. Blind Bartimaeus would do this, and the two blind men, son of David. Jesus is the son of David. Son of David, said the blind men, have mercy on us. They saw him. They saw him. They hated him for taking that designation. They wanted to destroy him for taking that designation. Because he was receiving all praise as the Messiah, whom David said was his Lord. But they better be careful. They better not get this wrong, for David himself understood that the Messiah was his Lord. And think carefully, if you're rejecting me, you're rejecting David's Lord. The implications of that are just huge. Let me draw the conclusion. The Messiah was just not a mere man. The Messiah was truly God. And that's who came to us. You understand this? That's who was sent to us. The one through whom everything was made. And they want to kill him. Just before he goes to the cross, they will deliver him over. And remember at the crucifixion, the high priest asked this question. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Here's Jesus' answer. I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. What a claim. Do you know who you're dealing with? Who has come to us? Who you're worshiping? He just forced them to deal with the most pressing issue of their lives, and he turned it on them, and he said, how are you treating me, your neighbor? How are you loving God? Who are they hating? You see this connection now? Who are you refusing in your life? Who are you rejecting in your life? Their hatred of him as the Messiah is hatred of God. And that's deadly. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's him. That's the most important issue. You see what unbelief is? It's rejection and hatred of God himself to do what you want to do and live your own life. And then you have to ask the all-encompassing question of this text. Do you really love him? Have you? And the answer is no. I haven't. I've done all kinds of things against him in my life. Yeah, pastor. I've lived rather rebellious in the course of my life. The great commandment, the great requirement is to love God. Then it has everything to do with responding to him as David did. David was a man after what? His own heart. Bowing. Believing by faith. Submitting to him. Following him. Believing him as Lord. What did they quote in the Shema? The Shema, they lift one little phrase that we didn't get usually explained here. You shall love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Do you know what it followed up with? I am the Lord. They missed him. And I think this gets to Matthew, what Matthew's been driving home for us. Israel missed the whole intention of the law in putting them on their knees and confessing their sins and turning to him in faith that then true love might spring out of that heart for him. The Psalms, to close this out today, say things that are so beautiful, beloved. I love the Lord. We're going to sing this in a minute. I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. New Testament. Henceforth, there is a laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but to all who have loved him. Loved is appearing. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. We love him. We love him. And that's the question today. When you've been delivered and you've been justified by faith, you love him. You follow him. You believe him. You trust him as your good shepherd. And Psalm 110 celebrates this great victory over the lives of rebellious hearts. Do we know whom God has sent to us? Why would you not believe in him and be saved? This is great news today. Come to me, said Jesus, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. You'll have rest, peace, joy, and the promise of eternal life. Think of what he's done for you today who believe the gospel. Dear Reformed brothers and sisters, we don't say this very often. I think we should think about this. Listen to me. You may say it. You may say it today. I love you, Lord. You ever say it in your prayers? You ever tell him you love him? He's given you that ability. Now you can say the Shema with understanding. Not just to say it, just to say it. And not even know him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Say it with understanding. Jesus, you're my Lord. I believe you. I turn from my sin. I come to you. Yes, by faith, he gives you an imputed righteousness by which we are justified. But the righteousness he's talking about here in Matthew is a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees in sanctification, and it's a beginning to love him. That's what Matthew tells us. It's a beginning in our love for him. When from the heart you can say this, for his marvelous salvation, all he's done for you, then you know your righteousness has exceeded that of the scribes and the Pharisees, and you've entered the kingdom of heaven. This is our Lord. This is our King. Of course, we didn't first love him. He first loved us. And that's why this love is possible. But how wonderful is it today to know we love him. We know him. He saved us. Has anyone not come today? Come to him. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one sent from heaven to save us from all of our sins. What a King. What a God we can come to and love. Amen. Lord, thank you for hearing us today and our cries to you. And we see who was sent to us. And we celebrate what you have done in our lives to open our hearts and minds. It grieves us, O Lord, that there are people who don't believe in the only name given by which people can be saved. There is no other name. There is no other way. So, Lord, may the peoples come. May they see the Son of God for who he is. May we bow before the Lord. And may we begin in this life, having been justified by faith, to love the Lord our God as we long for the day in glory when there's no more sin, when we will love in perfection. Thank you for encouraging us. And we pray, Lord, for all those who do not believe, that the gospel would sound out, that you would soften hearts and save, that they would see whom was sent to us from heaven to save us from all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning into us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time.